I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get up, get up, get up. It's the Get Up Show. Get up, get up, get up. It's the Get Up Show. Get up, get up, get up.
Go Simon.
Get up, get up, get up.
Go Simon.
Get up, get up, get up. It's the Get Up Show. Get up, get up, get up.
Go Simon.
Get up, get up, get up.
Go Simon.
Get up, get up, get up. It's the Get Up Show.
Hey, welcome to the second podcast. I think we should give a number every time so we could keep up with how many of these we've done.
No, we should.
This is number two, and there's reason to be possibly celebrating right now because 100 years ago, just a couple of days ago, it was the anniversary of Prohibition, which is when the government thought it was a great idea to make alcohol illegal in America.
Like all over America. No one was allowed to drink alcohol.
So wait, so we're saying it's the anniversary of it starting. So this is like my problem with daylight savings. So we're saying it's the start of Prohibition.
Uh-huh.
So not the end
of it. Well, no, because it went on for 13 years.
Yeah, 1920 to 1933, alcohol was an illegal substance in America. And that's why bootlegging started. That's why
we have NASCAR.
That's exactly why
Junior Johnson did what he did and became the famous guy that he was with his bootlegger turns on his car and all that kind of stuff. That's why all the stills in the hills of Wilkes County were what they were. And that's why people smuggled alcohol in flasks that looked like pretzels and pickles that we talked about last time.
That's why we have such weird alcohol rules too, still on the books in certain states to this day.
Yeah, there's dry counties and stuff because of that.
But wasn't there a place that just found a bunch of old whiskey in a wall?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it like a hotel or something?
Oh man, they're always finding that. Not just in hotels, but during Prohibition, during those years, people were so funny about it. Because, you know, it was just a controlled substance, and if you were caught with it, there was at least a fine. There could be jail time. So farmers, people in town, whatever, they would hide it in walls, and they would hide it all over the house. There was even, listen to this, Anheuser-Busch made products. There was one called Bevo, and that was marketed to kids, and there was one called Malt Nutrine, and they had just trace amounts. They were like beer, but they were almost alcohol-free beer. So you'd have to drink somewhere between 6 and 10 of these super low alcohol drinks to equal a beer.
But were they allowed to sell it under Prohibition, or was that just something that—
Oh no, these were legal. That's what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. These were like a workaround, but they were like just— they called them health drinks.
But you had to drink 900 to get drunk.
Exactly. And people did.
Yeah, wow. You got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah, people did. And one of the advertising campaigns for, I think it was Malt Nutrine, was the doctor and the stork showing up when a baby was born. Like, hey, start your life off right. Drink this healthy drink.
Yeah.
Was the doctor also smoking in that ad? Because that probably would—
well, of course.
Probably happened.
That's
have a
what
lucky.
They did.
Here's this baby.
There is actually a bar. It's on the campus, right off the campus of Purdue University in Indiana, called Harry's Chocolate Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Harry's Chocolate Shop, but they have a trap door in the floor where they kept the alcohol for during Prohibition.
Ah, how cool.
Still
cool.
There.
And people used to drink the most awful substances just because you couldn't go to the store and buy
whatever
alcohol
you could get.
You know, bathtub gin was a real thing.
What? How do you make how do you make bathtub gin?
I don't know.
To make my own gin in a—
you start off with just pure alcohol.
Right.
Grain alcohol.
And that was the problem, right? Just because of how crazy flammable that is.
Well, and then, what is it? What is the berry? There's a
juniper
berry is what you add to your alcohol to make gin to give it the flavor. So, you know, you're starting off with something horrible and then just kind of cutting that horrible flavor.
Well, that reminds me of Pruno, or like, you know, prison hooch.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's like they take, you know, you get a plastic bag and some bread and some fruit and let it get like fermenty, and you have to burp the bag.
It's just basically like letting things get old and moldy and fermented. Yay, alcohol.
People will go to extreme, crazy lengths to get a buzz, man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we did, too, when we were kids. Remember sneaking a beer, finding a beer, like finding a hot beer, like anywhere, and sneaking that off and splitting a beer among three or four people and thinking that was the best thing in the world?
We used to go down to my buddy's parents' house, and they had all their liquor bottles, and he would take a little bit of everything and pour it all into one container.
We did that. We actually, one of our drinking games was to pour a whole bunch of stuff. Remember the Hardee's Moose Cups?
Yeah.
We'd pour a whole bunch of things into the moose cup, and then you had to drink it.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was super fun.
It was super awful.
So 1920 to 1933, it was all illegal, but there were big workarounds, and there was a huge industry based on that. That's how Al Capone got rich, was, you know, bootlegging and
the speakeasies.
Speakeasies, shipping that stuff all across the country. Then in 1933, they abolished that law. The prohibition was abolished, and then it's legal. People went crazy. And what was the what was her name? The lady with the axe who was busting up the
Lizzie Borden? Oh no.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, busting up barrels, not
busting up barrels.
Not
see,
people.
I think I'm getting my history out of line. I think her name was Carrie Nation, and she was busting up barrels. She may have even been pre-prohibition, and she might have been, you know, what part of what led to prohibition.
Oh, she was against alcohol?
Oh God, yeah. Oh, here's something that'll blow your mind. Part of my family on the Eastern Shore was so anti-alcohol, they started a town called Temperanceville.
Wow.
Where this was way before Prohibition.
Uh-huh.
But they wanted to have a place that was completely free of that devil's brew alcohol. So they incorporated their own town called Temperanceville, where nobody could drink, where you couldn't buy alcohol, and anybody who lived there, you couldn't have alcohol in your house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy to think that even now, like around here, there's still counties where they're, I mean...
Yeah, you got
to
go down the road.
Changing liquor laws.
Where I live, Davidson County, just a few years ago changed that. You couldn't get liquor by the drink until just like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Remember when South Carolina, it was only like in the airplane bottles?
Oh, yeah, I lived there when that was going on too.
That was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen.
I have lived in some places with some weird alcohol laws.
But wasn't the thing with South Carolina, you could only get airplane bottles, but then you could drink till like 4 a.m?
3, yeah.
And you could walk around with it too, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Was it anywhere in South Carolina? Because I was in Charleston.
No, you can't just walk out on the streets.
Where was I? That's where I learned that I can't walk and drink at the same time. It was really excited. They poured my drink to go, and I walked out, and I had to take a couple steps and take a sip.
And stop.
I couldn't do it at the same time.
What, they didn't have straws?
Oh, I didn't even think to ask for that. I was amazed that they let me do it in the first place.
There's Pabst Blue Ribbon is coming out with a new high-end specialty beer. What's it called?
Captain Pabst, and the first one's going to be an IPA. It's called Seagull, I think.
Ew.
They're trying to save their...
I'll try it.
But people drink PBRs for PBR, not for their other random IPAs and stuff. If you want a PBR, that's what you want.
Yeah, but they're trying all kinds of stuff. They came out with that super high test, high alcohol PBR not too long ago.
The coffee.
I would say, aren't they the ones that come out with the coffee one?
Yeah, the alcohol coffee.
I'm sorry. It's called Seabird. I want to make sure I'm clear.
Seabird. And Natural Light is doing a thing this year in 2020 for... Is it everybody who turns 21 gets free beer?
Yeah.
God.
I'm not sure how that works, but I did see the article about it.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, that's great if you were planning on going out and drinking a beer when you turn 21 anyway.
I mean, it's just a six-pack, and they're not giving it to you if you don't want it. It's not like it shows up on your doorstep.
Hey, you're 21.
You turn 21.
Here, open your mouth. Here's a funnel.
When I was becoming of age of drinking, Natty Light and Keystone Light and Milwaukee's Best were like, they were like the go-tos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny to see Natty's still around, and like now they have that Natty's Pink Lemonade, whatever it is.
What?
They have tried to kind of diversify and get the Natty name back out there, and they did that Natter Days, the Pink Lemonade one.
I don't know about that.
I saw that on Barstool Sports,
and the Fatty
and
Natties and different stuff. Yeah.
You know what's weird is we're talking about this, and you guys know how I loved my Miller Lights. I say loved in the past tense because I hadn't had any alcohol.
Oh, you still love Miller Light. You're just not drinking it at the moment.
Not at the moment. It's like I told my friend Paul, I can start back drinking any. I don't have a not drinking problem. I can start back drinking anytime I want. But I haven't had a drink since around my birthday, Halloween.
Which was, yeah, October.
And, you know, I've been around people drinking. I made my eggnog, which, as you guys know, is super high test.
And you didn't even drink any of it?
Didn't even try
it.
Wow. No, I've still got probably a gallon of it in the fridge, and I hadn't had any of it the whole time. And it's kind of weird, you know, looking at this stuff from the outside because, you know, I was pretty much a pro forever.
It's, for you, it's been more of a matter of willpower than necessity.
Yeah, no,
you
I
just,
didn't. No,
you just decide, you know what? I don't feel like doing this right now. Okay.
Yeah. But it is always funny when you go through these situations, if you are around somebody or if you go into a scenario where you normally would be side by side with somebody, you know, drinking right along with them, and then you're like, you notice it a lot more. It's like when we used to do like certain gigs where we couldn't drink at them.
Uh-huh.
Like we go to an event for the radio station.
Oh, I always drank at those.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
100%.
What?
So, I mean, sometimes.
You remember what I used to tell you? I used to tell you and I used to tell Skip, I would call ahead and I would tell you to have my special drink waiting for me.
Oh, yeah.
So that as soon as I walk in.
Was it the Fun Fourth that one time where you before you even made it to the tent, you walked up and was like, look what I have.
So he was talking about you have your drinking buddy when you go places and somebody's like, hey man, here you go, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And do you ever notice how if you're not drinking, they're kind of hurt? They're like,
yeah.
They're like, well, what do
you know, I went through
mean?
That.
I
went
Why aren't
through that
you
with
drinking
cigarettes.
With me?
It was weird. Like I went through a whole phase. Like most of my friends smoked and then I quit. And then it was like, everybody left.
Really?
Just be sitting there.
Oh no, that situation totally sucks. But were they hurt that you weren't smoking with them?
No, but it's that thing. You sure you don't want? You want a car? You want to sure you don't want one?
What was it like? Smoke breaks? Like they're going out to smoke
at
and you
bar.
Didn't join them?
It was
right, when the bars have become where you couldn't smoke inside and everybody had to go outside, then if you're not the one smoking, you're left sitting all by yourself. Like this sucks.
That was the craziest thing. And just to backtrack. When I first moved to North Carolina, I remember the first time I flew into PTI and then people smoking in the airport. And then I went to the mall, went to Four Seasons Mall, and they're smoking in the mall.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a thing?
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, the principal of the school used to walk down the hall smoking.
Oh, wow.
And we had a principal. This was a different school, but he smoked those long brown cigarettes. What were they called? Moors?
Oh,
I don't remember.
Mr. Gregory, he would smoke those in school, too. They were like long, 6 inches long, and they were dark brown.
That was back when that's my cigarette break smoke because it takes extra long, hence the name Moore. I'll be out here for a while.
That's right. But, God, it used to drive me nuts. I went to my buddy Ray's restaurant, Cafe Pasta. This is years ago. And this was back when people smoked in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a party in there. And they were smoking like crazy and more people would show up and they were sucking on that cigarette like it was the first time they'd ever seen one, like full body smoke, just so into it. And I was looking at them and I was like, my God, is this your first cigarette? And so I was like, look, I'm going to move outside. I can't stand this.
Wow, is that bad?
It's so smoky in here. I'm trying to enjoy my veal parm. I'm going to move outside. So I move outside. As soon as I do, a group of these ladies come outside and start smoking right next to me.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
Don't you know you can smoke inside? Leave me alone.
I moved out here to get away from you. And then I got up and left in such a hurry to get away from them, I left my wallet.
Oh, no.
And then they smoked it?
Yeah.
It's all gone.
They took my wallet and went down to the JR's and bought cartons and cartons of cigarettes.
Have you ever been in JR's?
I haven't. Is it good?
No, I've never been. And I want to know. My daughter asked me. We drove by. Oh. She's like, is that? Well, no, she was just like, do they only sell cigarettes?
No, they sell all kind of stuff.
Which is the thing. I've never, it's like one of those mystery things. We go to Burlington all the time for picnics and we always drive by JR's and I'm like, what's really in there? And I think it's just full of cartons of various brands of mysterious cigarettes
and cigars. I think it's just walls and walls lined up.
Nah, they have all
kinds
of stuff. They also roll your own cigars while they're in there.
Oh.
While you're in there.
Well,
do I roll my own?
Yeah.
They roll them for you.
Well, you know what?
I've never been very good at rolling my own.
They call it online, JR Cigar Outlet. I thought it was like everything, but they also had cigars and cigarettes.
I'm pretty sure it's mostly where you get your smokes.
I just picture a
and
building.
And your smoking accessories.
Completely full of nothing but the most fantastical brands of cigarettes.
Like, I'll be damned. And they have cans of pipe tobacco and stuff. They indeed do. If you were to call them up right now and say, do you have Prince Albert in a can?
They would say yes. What size?
They would have to say yes.
So then I have to ask them to let him out?
Well, it would not be appropriate in this case because they do have it.
Yes.
We ain't going to just dump it out on the floor.
Well, I do have a question about your refrigerator then. But man, that's the cigar outlet. When I was a kid, every year, starting in junior high, we used to go to Burlington and hit the outlets for back to school clothes.
Oh, right.
And right about 8th grade, there was a place called Casual Mail.
Mm-hmm.
It was across the street from all the big outlets. Oh my God. I started finding like Duran Duran MTV clothes.
Yes.
And I was the only guy in Henderson who dressed that way. And I was like, oh, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
I would get like the pegged, like acid washed, like weird fabric pants and the loud shirts and stuff.
I never got any of that stuff.
Changed my life.
I like begged my parents for like the
yeah,
cool
I mean,
stuff.
I lived in a small town and we didn't really get to like all the whole Madonna thing and all that. It kind of missed us. We didn't get quite
wild. I didn't have cable. My parents, because we lived out in the country in New Hampshire, and they didn't even get us cable until like I think after high school.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even have MTV.
I didn't either. I had to go to my friend's house or to my aunt and uncle's house.
I didn't know what any of this stuff was.
Even if you went to a store that had crazy looking clothes, you could say, wow, that's kind of neat, even if you had no point of reference from MTV, right?
I mean, we had magazines and stuff. I knew what it was, even though we didn't have cable.
I couldn't read, okay?
We weren't Amish.
I wasn't allowed to look at pictures.
Unless
my parents used to be, look at this book. You can describe clothing
it's
from this
only
book.
Only got words.
No, it was weird. We never, I don't know what my deal with my parents were, but we never got into like the hardcore fashion stuff. I don't remember, but I know that one time my mom made me wear her jacket to school.
Uh-oh.
That was fun.
Buttons on the wrong side. Oh, that's not as bad as you wearing her pantyhose to camp.
Oh, God. It's okay. You know that long underwear is not that expensive.
No.
My mother thought it would be amazing to send her teenage child, middle school age child, off to a Boy Scout camp, a winter camp, and say, well, you don't have long johns, but here's my old pantyhose. Side note, they're a little stretched out around the top, so let's safety pin it up for you.
Jeez.
Oh,
we'll
wow.
fill them up with sponges. Just don't get them wet.
Between that and the jacket, my mom, we still joke that that's therapy fuel for her and me. She's like,
I
can't believe I did that to you. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't live it.
Wait a minute. How's that therapy fuel for her? She did that to you, man.
Right.
That's a whole nother. Let's go down that road of my therapy mom. But
it's still
the
about
point
mom.
Is, I love to bring it up.
But yeah. The thing is, I met your mom at your wedding,
mm-hmm.
and she seemed so sweet and innocent and normal. And all I was thinking while I'm talking to her was, what the hell were you thinking sending him to camp in your pantyhose?
You didn't ask her that?
No.
Oh, that would have been hilarious. That really would have been funny. I would have really enjoyed it. She would have been mortified.
I'm sure she would have.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic amongst us.
Well, that's the thing, because you have talked about that on our radio show, but your parents live in New Hampshire, so she doesn't listen ever?
Oh, no, but she knows.
Does she know you've talked about it?
Oh, God, yeah.
You told everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, so it's well known that my mother sent me off to a Boy Scout camp.
With pantyhose.
That's the one where I slept in the igloo. We built an igloo and slept in the igloo.
Did your pantyhose get wet?
I don't remember.
Did your pantyhose keep you warm?
No.
No.
And they just kept falling down and the safety pin kept jabbing me in the
down.
Side.
No.
It was a nightmare.
Did the other scouts notice that you were wearing pantyhose?
It was like, well, luckily it was a winter camp, so it wasn't a lot of like excessive changing. I don't think I changed once. It wasn't like a long time.
You're
it was like
at
over a
camp,
weekend.
But did she send you like, okay, we're dropping you off and you're wearing these pantyhose and you weren't allowed to take them off till you got back home?
It wasn't that I wasn't allowed. It was just so terrifying that anyone would know that I was wearing these pantyhose.
So you wore the same outfit the whole time at camp. You were that guy.
I'm pretty positive I was.
Oh, my
but
God.
But again, we were sleeping in an igloo. It's not like anyone was like, why aren't you changing?
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Boy Scout camp was often a filthy thing. And as I stayed in Scouts longer, towards the end, it got worse and worse because the new guys who came in weren't up to par. It was like Scouts went downhill as it went for me.
Ours were a bunch of criminals.
Yeah. Well,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I have tons. Okay. We had our lanterns taken away because someone made someone started a fire. And then because they took it away, they took remember the glass tube on the top of an oil lantern or whatever? They filled it with gas?
Oh my God.
Like basically lit that on fire. That blew up.
Are you sure they didn't send you to juvenile delinquent camp?
No.
It's kind of the same thing depending on what kind of troop you were
okay.
in. We were famous back in the day, Troop 630. We used to go to Camp Durant every summer. And our thing was the last night of camp every year, we would stay up all night and we would go down to the lakeside and we would take all the rowboats and all the canoes. And we would untie them, and we would send them out.
them adrift.
Every single boat, every single canoe, we would send them out into the water, and somebody would have to swim out and get all of those. And we did it every.
I loved you guys.
We
so
did
much.
It every single year,
and they never caught on. It happened every year.
This is so weird.
I think they would probably stake it out, or they would keep their eye out for a certain amount of time. But we would always get around them. We would always get down there and do it. I was in on it a couple of years, but it was way before me and probably after me. That troop doesn't even exist anymore.
I don't know how you can remember your troop name.
Me neither.
We used to have our meetings at our local church.
We did too.
And certainly.
Some of the guys in the troop started calling 900 numbers.
No.
From one of the church phones. And so that was another instance of where the Boy Scouts got in a lot of trouble because they got the phone bill and there's all these 900 line calls.
God.
It was the worst. It was all setting fires. hazing each other.
Yeah, did you guys play the game? I told you guys about this game before. There were two versions of it. It was kind of the same game. One of them was called Find the Bacon, and one of them was called Sock. And it was the same thing, like you'd be on base, and one guy would go hide the bacon or the sock, and then you'd go around and you'd be searching around the churchyard to find the bacon.
Yeah.
And whoever found it, it's like a sock with a sock in it, and it's tied in a knot. And whoever found it then got to beat the hell out of everybody with it. And you run back to base, and whoever found it gets to hide it. And then you go out, and whoever finds it next beats the hell out of everybody with it.
That's
I mean, they
games.
Have a similar game in prison, but it's got a lock in the sock. It's not nearly as fun.
You get to chase everybody. Hey, it's lock in the sock. Look at him go. I like the idea of who came up with these. Like, there's always been those games.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever have Butts Up?
You said that before.
But that was the
game. Again, they play that in prison, too.
Okay. Yes.
But that was the one where, all right, you're throwing a tennis ball at the wall, and if you catch it
in your butt?
In the air, no, in your hand. Well, I guess you could use your butt. But if you catch it in your hand, and then if you hit the guy before he hits the wall, then he has to stand against the wall, and you get to throw the tennis ball as hard as you can until you hit him in the butt. And a lot of times, guys would miss on purpose and tag you in the leg and the back.
Yeah.
You had to stand there until he got you right in the butt.
Yeah.
Butts up.
They were all based on hurting each other.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's the other, there's Smear, the other one, which we don't say anymore, but that was another thing.
Well,
you
get
the ball, then everybody beats the crap out of you until someone else gets the ball.
Yeah, every game of dodgeball, every King of the Castle, Red Rover, they're all based
why do those
on
feel, like? But why do those feel okay? Like
they were.
Why does
and
dodgeball?
They made us tough.
And now dodgeball's cool. Like, adults are playing dodgeball.
It's cool for adults. Kids can't play it at all.
No.
Oh, God, no.
I don't even think you can bring it up.
Nah.
They have it.
It's forbidden.
Although, they have a dodgeball court at, like, one of the last times we were at one of the bounce places in town. It was, like, airbound.
But
or
what
whatever.
Kind of ball is it?
Like, it's a foam. It's
foam,
not like that hyper-inflated.
That red ball.
Yeah. That had that sound.
It would leave a mark on you just as red as the ball.
Oh, God.
Now you have to play with scrunchies.
It's just foam. Yeah.
So you were in Scouts too?
I was in Girl Scouts, yeah.
Now, what is it? You're in Girl Scouts and you graduate to something, right?
Well, you start out as brownies and right. then you go to juniors and then you become full-fledged Girl Scout. And then I don't know what's after that.
Did you sell cookies?
Yes.
Have they changed from what Girl Scout cookies used to be to now?
Some of the flavors are a little bit different. They actually changed companies of who made them from when I was a kid.
Well, back then, y'all baked them yourself in a wood-fired oven, didn't you?
You're so funny. No!
Them and the elves.
In a tree?
Yeah. Is it okay?
Get back in there!
But yeah, they've changed some of the flavors and stuff. Huh. But they've always had Thin Mints.
Man... My daughter will not do that kind of stuff.
Really?
She won't do Scouts. Uh-uh.
I mean, I think by the time I was in junior high, I had quit, but all through elementary school, I did it.
Who got you into it?
Oh, my mom and friends,
Maybe
I guess.
That was the problem.
I think I got into it because other little girls we knew were getting into it. I mean, mm-hmm. pretty much everything I did was because somebody else was doing it.
I don't think a single one of my kids' friends did anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. They didn't, mm-hmm. like, not a lot of them did, like, traveling soccer leagues and stuff like that.
How far did you get in Scouts?
I made it to Boy Scouts and then I...
No, I mean, what rank?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
What kind of scout are you?
I think I explained. I went to the felon troop.
Jeez.
I know. I now know that bug spray is highly flammable. I know that Tang slash powdered hot chocolate is very flammable.
Yeah, that's flammable. I almost made it to Eagle. I made it one below Eagle, but then I turned 18. Yeah. But it was easy. It was so easy because I was friends with everybody.
I mean, that seems awfully disciplined for... It's contrary to the other stories you've told us of your youth.
Yeah, wait, when were you going through Boy Scouts? Weren't you in Florida?
Right.
We'll talk about that another time because we are just about out of time. But aww. Thanks a lot. Yeah, we'll get to that stuff. We'll talk about Florida.
Next time.
We'll talk about Europe. We'll talk about all those things some other time. But yeah, man, y'all be good. It was awesome to talk to you. Any parting words, Charlie?
I can't wait to hear the rest of these stories of your youth. Y'all just don't even know.
I don't know how much of that I can
you
talk
can
about.
Say, no, you can talk about
What's
anything on this podcast.
What's the statute of limitations on things?
Some stuff there isn't any. All right, Maddie, parting words.
Same thing.
All right.
I got nothing.
All right, next time.
Good day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.